Croft, Mr. Hayden.
Good morning, Your Honors.
Good morning.
Just want to say at the outset that the Ms. Fashadi's case was originally my case at the lower levels, and I never learned to pronounce Mr. Gibber Medin's name either. This is another immigration case, Your Honor, but just to summarize it to begin, this is a case of a young woman who is of Albanian ethnic background who was born and raised in Kosovo. During the ethnic cleansing campaign in Kosovo, she had suffered a horrendous, horrific experience.
Did she ask the immigration judge to consider granting her humanitarian asylum based on the severity of the past persecution?
That was our request, Your Honor. That was included in our application.
What evidence did she present in support of that claim?
Well, the evidence from her testimony, she has constant memories and reminders of the experience. Her parents, she has never heard from them or about them since the time that she was kidnapped from their home. The neighbors have told her brother, who did some inquiries, that the family disappeared, the home was burned. Her older brother, who was a member of the Kosovo Liberation Army, was never seen again. And basically that to return her to the exact situation in which she was would constitute inhuman treatment, basically, not humanitarian treatment. The judge, in his decision, basically ignored the case law on that, which is Matter of Chen, which has been codified into immigration law, and which says that although the judge did find past persecution in this case, he did believe her and did say that all things happened to her. He ignored the Chen rule and the immigration law, which says that created a rebuttable presumption.
That's not responsive to what Judge Roper is saying,
okay,
as I understand it.
Your Honor, I think this was
the judge. The classic case. You know, he didn't force Jews to go back to Germany after World War II, even though they wouldn't face persecution. So, did you actually argue that? Because the immigration judge doesn't discuss it.
No doubt, Your Honor, he doesn't. I argued that all of these issues and the...
Well, did you complain to the board, which also doesn't discuss this?
Yes, Your Honor, that was in our brief to the board, and again, the board just summarily supported or upheld the immigration judge without getting into a discussion of those issues at all. The board just gave a one-paragraph decision saying, we agree with the judge, and that's why we're asking you to reverse the IJ's decision in this case. The very short shrift was given to the horrendous things that happened to this young woman and what would the circumstance be if she were to be returned.
I guess what I was trying to get at is, you know, the board wanted her to present evidence that would support her assertion that she would suffer psychological harm if she were returned to Yugoslavia. It was her without any other evidence from, you know, an expert or...
Well, Your Honor, I don't think that it was... I think the facts basically speak for themselves. Her brother did testify also as to the family situation, the brother that did escape and got her over here.
Yeah.
And I believe that we felt that the actual horrendous facts of the situation, she did testify, and she still said at the airport interview that she was terrified to go back, that she testified that she had hidden with a family that rescued her from the side of the road for 7 months.
No, I understand all of this. I mean, the fact is that what the IJ, I guess, was looking for was some sort of expert to present psychological evidence. And, you know, I'm not making a comment on that. Mm-hmm. I'm just saying, I guess that that's what they needed there, they thought.
That may be, Your Honor, they don't really elaborate on it, but I think that in this situation, where there are situations in which this woman happens to live in Detroit and did not have access to resources like we do in Chicago, such as the Kovler Center for the Victims of Torture, and we're not able to get that kind of treatment for her. But one of the indications, I think, is that her brother, the one who was here and who brought her over to the U.S., did not even learn that these things had happened to her until he heard it from his wife, to whom is the only one she could confide this to because of, again, cultural considerations. She was, these were part of the things that happened to her, and the judge did feel that they rose to the level of persecution.
Yeah.
So, Your Honor, the other issue is that as I said, there is created under Matter of Chin a rebuttable presumption that there would be serious harm and persecution if the person were to be returned to their to place where
that's
the persecution
That's a very weak part of your case. Kosovo is run by the UN, and the Albanians are busy persecuting the Serbians there. So,
Your Honor, I have the government in its brief referred to the 2003 country report on Kosovo, and while it is administered by the United Nations, the report states, for example, that the mistreatment of individuals has been continuing.
Yes, it's Albanians mistreating Serbians.
Well, Your Honor, we also, again, part of our argument is that under Vujicic, this court said that if the BIA just cannot, when it gets to the board, it cannot just say rubber stamp the decision of the judge. When the judge made his decision, at that point, the removal of Milosevic to The Hague had just occurred, and the his presumption was that everything was sweetness and light in Kosovo. Now, he also refers to the
Milosevic has nothing to do with it.
Your Honor, he refers to the election of a new.
It doesn't matter. The Serbian government doesn't run Kosovo.
Well, Your Honor, at this point, within the last
nations runs Kosovo.
Yes, but within the last few months, there have been serious clashes between Albanians.
Yes, but it's the Albanians persecuting the Serbians, burning down their houses, you know, tit for tat.
Well, I mean,
they're a majority in Kosovo.
Well, our point is, Your Honor, that she would be.
It's a very weak argument.
She would be.
Your stronger argument was the, you know, this humanitarian business, but you don't seem to have developed it very well, right?
Well, Your Honor, the law says that if there has been a finding of past persecution.
No, but look, the presumption of future persecution is completely unrelated to the humanitarian basis for asylum. Okay.
But then the humanitarian was this, Your Honor, that the government, the INS, has to take into account the situation of the applicant, their age, their status, their family ties, the seriousness of the severity of what happened to them. And this woman now has no one in Kosovo. Her parents are presumably dead. Her older brother is missing and probably dead. No home, that's been burned down. The only family member she has is the one that she depends on here in Detroit, who testified at this hearing. And she's a young woman. I also would point out, Your Honor, that in the country report, it states that there are, even though the United Nations is running Kosovo, there still are serious problems in things like trafficking on young women. And she fits in the category of that. She would have no family to protect her. She would have no males to protect her. She would be basically easy prey, so to speak, for the traffickers. It says, for example, on page 221 of the 2003 country report, that traffic in persons remained a serious problem. And it also says that tradition generally prevented discussion of the topic of rape. Now I'm getting back to that issue of ethnic Albanians, since in some communities the act is seen as dishonorable to the entire family. In other words, she would be a person who could not even return. The village knows what happened. And although it's not fair, culturally these people, a person in her position is in a vulnerable spot. She testified that she stayed with this family for 7 months, not even going to church because there were young men there, but also that her brother, one of the reasons that he brought her to the U.S. and sent her money, he testified, and the judge found him credible, was because he was afraid she would be forced onto the street, and he wanted to get her over here and keep her safe. So that's another harm or injury that she might be subject to if she were to return. And the United Nations has not prevented that.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Hay.
Thank you.
Ms. Stevens?
May it please the Court, my name is Elizabeth Stevens and I represent the government of the United States of America. In this immigration case, Ms. Brukaj entered the United States on a false passport.
Right, we know that. So,
okay.
Look, I didn't see in the immigration judge's opinion any reference to this humanitarian ground for asylum, which Mr. Hagen said was presented to the judge.
There is no clear reference in the immigration judge's opinion. That is correct. However,
well,
the
isn't that kind of a big hole?
It is.
Gap.
There is a hole. Yes,
yeah.
But the board clearly addressed the humanitarian.
Well, the board. Well, it's not clear. I mean, you could only guess it if you knew it was in the regulations. But they didn't discuss it. Now, at the end of his argument, he made a number, you know, he made interesting points. So if it's true, all that what happened to her, it's not just the psychological impact of going back there. That would be the Jewish-German analogy. But also, you know, it's true, of course, these Muslim cultures do not look kindly on women who have been raped, and if she has no family there and so on.
Well, sir,
she could. So there's no discussion by the immigration judge, and the BIA just has a couple of sentences that just says she failed to present evidence supporting her assertion that she suffered severe psychological harm or a reasonable probability of being kidnapped.
What's the source of the requirement that an applicant present psychological evidence? Because the regulation requires an applicant to present compelling reasons why she shouldn't be forced to return to the country. But it doesn't seem to specify what type of evidence she has to present.
That requirement arises out of the board's interpretation of that particular thing, of that particular regulation. After the 1998 regulations were passed, Matter of NMA came out. And in Matter of NMA, the board looked at everything that had happened and established a new hierarchy of sorts in dealing with requests for humanitarian asylum. They said that first that they would look at a matrix of the past harm and any long-term effects, long-lasting effects of that harm. And if they weighed in heavily enough so to show compelling reasons what they
would
be
returned. I think the question is, do they require expert evidence?
They require some objective evidence. In the cases
is that what the board is saying here, that there has to be third party evidence of some sort?
I think what the board was looking for here is they were looking for some evidence of a disability.
Why did they say so? I mean, it's so ridiculous. You have his only decent claim, I think, is this humanitarian claim. The immigration judge overlooks it completely. And then the Bureau of Immigration Appeals discusses it in two sentences, which just cite regulations, and so there's no actual discussion anywhere of the claim, which would be fine if it were, you know, frivolous, but it sounds substantial, so.
I would like to go back to the types of cases where this
agency
has been.
Is impossible, really, to deal with for an appellate court. You don't give us anything.
Ms. Stevens, the assault was a particularly brutal one. Can we really say, do you think, as a matter of law, that no reasonable IJ could find her entitled to humanitarian asylum based on the severity of the persecution without additional proof of psychological harm? See, here's my worry. How do we deal with the expense of such an expert, particularly in light of the many petitioners who struggle to survive financially? They seem to accept her her testimony.
I'd like to, there's several things that your question has brought up. First of all, the question is the review, the standard of review is not whether that no reasonable judge could find for her. It's that they could find, that there was nothing in the record that would cause it to be reversed. I mean, yes, it's not whether any reasonable person would find it. It's whether no one would find it the other way around.
But it's unclear whether the Bureau here is exercising discretion or applying some rule that you need expert evidence. That's still obscure.
In any case, the standard of review.
What do you mean by objective evidence? Is that expert evidence? What would be non-expert objective evidence?
Well, any type of medical report would have been helpful in this.
Well, that's expert type stuff. Well, I mean, treating physician.
She saw a physician, but brought no evidence. She said that she'd seen a physician, but brought nothing before the court. The court specifically asked her.
What would the physician have to do with this?
She, in her
testimony. It's not a medical problem.
It may be a medical problem.
What do you mean, maybe a medical problem? What's the medical problem here?
Rape has many, both physical.
But that's not her complaint. Her complaint is about, you know, the mental association she has with Yugoslavia and her status as a Muslim who's been raped and has no family. So. A doctor isn't going to be able to say anything interesting about that.
In the first one point of fact from the record, she is not a Muslim. She is a Roman Catholic.
Oh, she's a Catholic.
She's a Catholic, which is unusual. But in all accounts, her family does say that the custom of the country is that such a thing is looked upon with shame, and I will grant that. That is the custom of the area, but you still have to look in humanitarian asylum. The ones that have been granted, like Matter of Chen, this young man from the age of 8 until his adulthood was.
But you see, if the Bureau had discussed that and mentioned Chen and distinguished it and so on, well, fine. But they seem to have treated it as essentially frivolous, or else they imposed some kind of requirement of expert evidence.
All that the board seems to be looking for in this case is a requirement that there be some objective evidence.
Well, what is objective evidence in a case like this except expert psychiatric evidence? What else would the board recognize as legit?
If every psychiatrist is an expert evidence, then that would they would probably have looked for some,
whether a psychiatrist or a psychologist or
a counseling center, simply a counselor who would have come in and testified to it. But there's nothing in the record. Nothing was given. Anything at the point.
But
they were looking for.
Aren't there some situations that are so inherently horrifying and horrible that it would be a redundancy to have a psychiatrist come in and say, yes, when you're raped by 3 men in front of your mother and father, you are left with horrendous psychological scars?
The question is whether this person was left with horrendous psychological and social scars. We don't know that. We have no evidence of that whatsoever.
Do you think that there's a woman in the world that wouldn't be left with horrendous psychological scars?
I can't I can't say to that, ma'am. I have no experience. I'm happy that I don't. But I can't personalize it like that. All I'm saying is that there is no evidence in this record that shows severe psychological, long-lasting harm. And that is what the board, I believe, pointed out in their decision. And Ms. Rukaj does bear the burden of proof on this issue. As the court has pointed out, once they've shown past persecution, which in this case was shown, then the burden goes on to the government to present evidence of a fundamental change in country conditions. The immigration judge found a fundamental change of country conditions and did an individualized assessment of that. Then, once that happens, the burden goes back onto the petitioner to establish eligibility for any other thing, whether it's persecution or a well-founded fear of persecution by the new government or eligibility for humanitarian asylum under Chen.
The regulations don't actually require objective evidence, do they?
The regulations don't state what evidence is required.
Right. So where did you get this idea that has to be what you're calling objective evidence?
The board's decision in NMA and other things have generally looked for some type of medical
report. You didn't cite any of those.
I have cited NMA.
I'm
saying other unpublished ones. I was not going to cite unpublished board decisions.
You cited a case for the objective evidence point?
Of NMA.
Where did you cite that?
That should be on page 31 of my brief.
There's nothing there about objective evidence. You cited for the proposition that the agency considered the severity of the past persecution also takes into account any lasting effects on the alien or lack thereof. It doesn't say anything about the nature of the evidence. Suppose that the immigration judge had said, you know, I listened to Ms. Rukaj, and I'm convinced from her testimony that it would inflict unspeakable psychological harm on her to send it back to Yugoslavia. Would the Board of Immigration Appeals say, sorry, there was no objective evidence? Is that what NMA holds?
Right. Well, NMA specifically does say, sir, I have... excuse me while I try to peer at it through my glasses because I don't have my reading glasses on. The applicant must show also that he belongs to the smaller group of persecution victims whose persecution, including the aftermath, is so severe that the compelling reason standard has been met. In the present case, the applicant has not testified to the severe harm and the long-lasting effects of that harm, as was evidenced in the matter of Chen, where there was a great degree of medical evidence in the record, and in matter of B, which was another case where there was medical evidence in the record. We acknowledge the traumatic sequence of events that the applicant witnessed and experienced from his month-long detention, etc. However, given the degree of harm suffered by the applicant, the length of time over which the harm was inflicted, and the lack of evidence of severe psychological trauma stemming from the harm, we conclude that the applicant has not shown compelling reasons arising out of the severity of the past persecution.
Well, I didn't hear any rule there about particular forms of evidence necessary to establish the psychological injury.
It's the government's contention that that is...
Well, it's not in there. It's not what you read. Didn't say her testimony standing alone, the testimony standing alone is always insufficient. Testimony of the alien is not always insufficient.
They did say severe psychological harm. I am not a person that can talk about what type of severe psychological harm is. I doubt if any of the immigration judges are psychologists or psychiatrists either. Therefore,
I don't see anything in what you've read or in the regulations or in your brief to suggest that if she gave really convincing testimony to the immigration judge and the immigration judge said would be monstrous to send this person back, that the Bureau of Immigration Appeals would say, no, sorry, there was no testimony by a psychologist, and that's what we require. There's nothing anywhere to suggest that.
The evidence, the only thing that I can stand on here is that the board said that she had not met her burden of proof on this issue.
Yeah, but one would like to have some reasons, you know. Why is that? Is she an unconvincing witness? Hard for the board to say, since the immigration judge was the one who heard her and he didn't say anything.
The immigration judge actually did say that there were several inconsistencies in the testimony between Ms. Rukach and her brother, but as to the events of past persecution, he found her credible. That was the credibility finding in the record.
Okay, well, thank you very much, Ms. Stevens. Mr. Hagen, does he have any time? No. All right, we'll give you 30 seconds.
So I just wanted to make a couple of quick points. The respondent is Catholic, but the evidence I read in the report and so on talks about the cultural situation. She's a very small minority in a culture which is Muslim, but it's not only the Muslim culture, but the Albanian culture referred to, where she is in effect.
Well, Ms. Stevens acknowledged
she's
that,
in effect damaged goods. I'm just saying, if she were to go back.
No. We understand that.
Secondly, there was no way she could have any kind of medical treatment. She was hiding with the family at a mm-hmm. farm for 7 months and then came to the U.S. There was a perfunctory medical exam they give at the airport when someone comes in. That's what's referred to in here. But we feel that the BIA did not do an individualized assessment of her case. You can see from the paucity of their decision. The judge did find her credible and her brother, and found no finding of non-credibility. The brother, I believe, also testified what would happen to her if she went back, which is why he wants her to stay with him here. And finally, Your Honor, I would just say that I think just the judges, all judges, no judges are necessarily psychiatrists, but you don't have to be one in order to take a look at this. The judges do not leave their common sense at the door of the courthouse, which is an overused phrase. But I think that the judge in this case got caught up in the thing about the country reports and all of that and didn't get into the issue of humanitarian at all. But I think that to return her to the condition and the situation she was at, she is now living in Detroit.
We understand, Mr. Hagen.
Okay. And okay. That would be unconscionable.
Thank you very much.
Thank you
to both counsel. Case will take an advisory.